You know that ridiculous way pet owners talk to their animals?
Who's my boy? You want a potty for daddy? Yeah, he's the best dog in the world.
Yeah, you won't hear any of that here. This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 9:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a guest on the line, Debbie McDonald, who is the Facility Director and Chief Investigator for the Detroit Center of Animal Care for the Michigan Humane Society. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Well, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure to have you. Debbie, the reason we wanted to speak with you is because there are some very big headlines talking about the board meeting that just recently took place where I guess some members resigned over the euthanasia rate that we've heard is taking place in the Detroit Humane Society's area. And Hush, who was a guest on our show a couple of weeks ago, mentioned just the quantity of dogs that you all are trying to keep up with. And essentially, he made it sound like it is an impossible job that you face. Is that true? And what's going on?
It is a problem. We are an open admission shelter, and we don't turn animals away. And there is a steady stream of animals coming into our facility. You know, a lot of them are adoptable.
Okay.
You know, we adopt out 100% of our adoptable animals. A lot of the animals that come to us, they require some sort of treatment.
Right.
You know, they may have ear infections, or they may need dentals, or have lacerations or injuries, things like that. And, you know, we're able to treat 80% of those animals and get them, a lot of times through using foster homes, get them placed up for adoption. But there's also a really large number of animals that have nowhere else to go but to our shelter. And a lot of these animals are very sick, very injured, or very aggressive.
Mm-hmm. Of the percentage of those that are euthanized, what percentage is aggressive and what percentage tends to be of other health-related issues other than aggression?
Oh, I didn't bring those numbers.
No, okay, just in percentage.
I don't know if I could give you a good anecdotal response, but yeah. I know that, you know, a lot of the aggressive animals that come to us, I mean, first off, it's not responsible for us to put aggressive animals back in the community.
Right.
You know, nobody wants to live next door to an aggressive dog.
Right.
At the end of the day. But, you know, unfortunately, so many of the animals that we see come into our doors have been, you know, they've been left out in their backyards. They've been chained out to dog houses. They've grown up, you know, chained to a pole in the basement. They haven't been socialized. They haven't been handled.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and that at an older age, anyhow, something more than just a few months, you've missed that window of opportunity.
And so many of these animals, you know, they've spent 5 years chained to this pole.
And not only that, running around the neighborhood, you know.
Yeah, and it's heartbreaking to see these animals. I mean, they haven't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
But nobody's been responsible in caring for them.
Now, what's the delineation between you and your Humane Society and an animal control facility that might be in the area as well? Is there different avenues if a dog's loose and wandering around the neighborhood? Does that go one direction, and do you take another group? And is there a fee associated with bringing in an animal or no?
Well, we actually go out and pick up animals. We have a very active cruelty and rescue department.
Okay.
And we will pick up confined strays, we will pick up sick and injured strays, sick and injured wildlife, and this is dogs and cats, not just dogs,
mm-hmm.
Sick and injured wildlife, and we will pick up animals from individuals that own them. We do ask for fees, but, you know, if people, in our economy, if people don't have money, we're still going to take the animal, we're still going to go get that animal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that is never going to stop us from taking an animal in.
So locally here, we have animal control and we have the Humane Society, and they seem to work together or in tandem in a way. They seem to have different specific situations that they get involved. Is that the way it works down there? Is there actually an animal control, or do you work as the animal control?
We do have an animal control down here. All of our calls for animals that have bitten somebody or are running at large, all of those calls are referred to
okay.
animal control.
Okay.
We also take animals from animal control to try to find them placement.
Now when I'm reading the article in front of me here, it seems as if that the argument or the concern that they had was just that 70% of the animals coming in being euthanized in and of itself seems like a high number if you're using, you know, healthy animals all stay alive. But the problem is that severe. The aggression issue or the health related issues of those being surrendered are in that compromised position?
Well, I think our numbers are lower this year. We're probably, so far for this year, we're probably around 60. It's something that we work on all the time. But,
okay,
you know, we don't, because we are open admission, we don't turn animals away. And a lot of times we're the last resort. And we're actively going out and picking up. I mean, it's not unusual for our drivers to respond to several hit-by-car dogs in a day.
I see.
Several cases where dogs have been attacked by other animals or have parvovirus. Cats that have been attacked by dogs, animals that have been burned. I mean, last week we had, a chemical case where an animal was burned with chemicals. You know, Monday morning we have another case where an animal is burned there. We get those animals that don't have any place else to go. And we see a lot of people that just can't. They have older animals, they have animals that have cancer, or have reached their time. But they don't want to say, hey, come and get my animal, put it to sleep. They'll call it in, and, you know, it's a stray, I just found it. Well, you know, we're going to get the animal and bring it in here and do what's right.
Is it an overwhelming task with what you're dealing with? Is it just that, is your facility up to the call, or is the staff level up to the call, or is it overwhelming?
Well, I think it's incredibly sad, and I think that sadness can get overwhelming a lot of times.
Sure.
You know, I think that's what people get overwhelmed by. And we can always use more foster homes. I mean, we never have enough foster homes.
Uh-huh.
So I think, you know, that's one of the areas that we can always use help in. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's just incredibly sad to see so many animals that people aren't responsible for.
And when you look at, because Michigan Humane Society is, you know, handling three different facilities, is there a substantial difference between the complexion of the three? You know, is there a higher percentage rate in one than the other because of the area that it's in? Are they pretty similar to one another? How do they vary as far as, you know, the need, the task, and the dire situation of all these euthanasias?
Well, our Detroit shelter, definitely takes in more animals that are unadoptable. We have been here a very long time, and people see us as a resource.
Mm-hmm.
And we actively go out and pick them up. You know, there are days that we have, you know, four or five vehicles out on the road picking up animals all day long.
Mm.
So when we are taking cruelty calls and rescue calls through our dispatch system all day long, that really increases the number of animals that are in dire need.
Sure.
As opposed to a shelter that doesn't actively go up and bring those animals in need in, that takes animals in over the counter. And a lot, you know, people that turn in their cat because they have allergies or they're moving or things of that nature, the animals that we see a lot of time we've actively had to go out and get because they're in a bad way.
Right, right.
Debbie, I have a question. Are you seeing an abundance of the animals that are being brought in as what's known as bully breeds or pit bulls and related breeds like that?
We have seen a lot of, I mean, it's a common dog here in Detroit, in our area, so we've seen those come in for quite some time.
And is that related to more of a fear factor, or is there a dog fighting problem? What's the cause of that?
Well, I think the popularity of the breed has really increased, you know, and the awareness. I mean, it's become a cool, you know, macho dog to have. Years ago, we did see pit bulls, but they were not, you didn't see them in the backyard breeder so much. But now everybody backyard breeds pit bulls.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, and everybody thinks they're going to make, you know, a quick dollar breeding pit bulls, or everybody thinks they want to have a really cool, aggressive pit bull. And so they're going to do everything they can to find that dog. So it sort of is like, you know, I have the cool, bad, macho dog. Oh. And it's sort of, it's unfortunately taken off. They're used to guard drug locations. And they're not treated very well.
Is there any way efforts on foot that trying to help change that because that's obviously a major issue, is if there's this perception of pot on the end, gold on the end of the rainbow, that somehow is going, how do you change that paradigm in your community?
It's kind of, I think, two-pronged. One is through enforcement. You know, we work very hard to write arrest warrants for dog fighters. We have a very active cruelty department, and we are constantly pursuing dog fighters and dog fighting cases.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the enforcement angle. And the other angle is there's a perception that we don't adopt out pit bulls, but we do. And we want to find those pit bulls that could be breed ambassadors, because there are some wonderful pit bulls out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think people need to understand there are some wonderful, wonderful pit bulls out there.
Absolutely.
And, you know, to condemn any one breed just because of that breed, it's just not right.
Yeah, such a healthy comment you're making there. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. We've been speaking this morning with Debbie McDonald, the Facility Director and Chief Investigator for the Detroit Center of Animal Care for the Michigan Humane Society. Debbie, thanks so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Yeah. And Rick, we're going to continue the conversation after the break with a new shop that's geared toward pit bulls right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill.